Thank you, Rebecca. That's a great challenge as we begin the year. As you've said farewell already to 2019, and you've entered into this year. Have you thought about your soul? I want to preach tonight on the subject, the crossroads of life. This is a gospel sermon for 2020. And I invite you to turn to the Gospel of Matthew, the chapter 7. Our text tonight will be the opening two verses that we read, and we're reading from verse 13. So pay particular attention to the words of the Savior here in verses 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Ending the reading at verse 23, we're going to bow together briefly in prayer, very conscious that one of our elders, in the will of God, will be facing surgery tomorrow, our brother John McCauley. He has been remembered at all the prayer meetings today, and we want the congregation to continue to pray for him. And as we come to the scriptures and seek God's blessing upon the preaching of the gospel, we want to remember John again. Our Father, we thank thee for the scriptures of truth, and for these words of the Savior that we have read together. We pray that you will speak on this first Lord's Day at the gospel service to every heart. And may they consider their soul. Have they thought about it? Have they given proper due consideration to that spiritual part of them that is immortal? And we pray, Lord, that tonight serious consideration will be given, and the words of Christ will penetrate their heart as we think upon these things. Bring sinners to Christ. Do it today. Do it every Lord's Day. Do it more than even on the Lord's Day as we face this year in Christian service, in the preaching of the gospel, in our outreach work. Lord, may many, many sinners be brought to the feet of the cross and be saved. We pray for John that thou will be with him. In the will of God, everything will come together for him tomorrow, that the operation will take place and the surgeon will be guided in the work that he does, and that John will be brought through successfully to the glory of God, and that thou will put your hand upon him. As we pray for surgeons, doctors, and physicians that you have equipped and gifted so marvelously. We thank thee for the one who is known as the great physician, even our blessed Redeemer. And we pray that the hand of Christ will be upon John for good, and that thou will bless him with his presence, with his healing touch. For we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. There are moments in the journey of life when we are brought to a crossroads, a place of decision, an occasion which causes us to stop, to consider where we are and make important choices. Sometimes that is brought through serious illness. We hear the news that everything is not well with us physically. We know it ourselves. We sense it in our bodies, and the doctors tell us that there is some serious illness that has come to our bodies. And that very often is a crisis time, and it brings us to a place where we stop, we consider, we think about where we are, and decisions are made in the light of that news. Sometimes we are brought to that place through a near-death experience or even a deathbed experience, and we are led very low, maybe through an accident or through an illness, and we think we're going to die, and it really brings us to a decision time, and very important choices are made in the light of that. Sometimes it is a crisis in the family. At other times it is a change of direction, maybe a new job. Maybe that new job means leaving a secure place of employment and going out into uncertainty, and you are faced with making very important decisions. With the dawning of a new year, we are often brought to such a place of decision. A new year brings with it a fresh start, fresh opportunities, various challenges. Some of it I know is psychological, but undoubtedly entering into a new year, and for us in 2020, a new decade, gives us a new start, a new beginning. People make resolutions. Maybe you've done that, but very often those resolutions are broken in the matter of days and weeks, and they're not kept. Christians often make the start of a year a time of dedication and consecration to the Lord. We present our bodies as living sacrifices, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. We say with the prophet Isaiah, "Here am I, send me, use me, fill me. Whatever the course is for me, whatever God has for me this year, Lord, here am I." And you give yourself to the Lord. We often think of the question that was asked by King David on his deathbed, and we were looking at this morning at the early time of prayer, when he asked the question, "Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord?" And whether that is the first day of the year, the 1st of January, or whether it's the first Sabbath of the year like today, it is very often a time when we're faced with that challenge, that question, and we give a willing response, I trust. And we say, "Lord, I'm willing this day to consecrate my service unto the Lord." And I pray that that'll be such a time for God's people. What this year could be if the people of God in this house, if all of you, all of us, even the majority of us, just simply give ourselves to the Lord for his service. Then thinking about the unconverted, I think of the main challenge for you. You are still not right with God. You are not ready for heaven. You are not redeemed by the blood of the Savior. You are not regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit. You are not rejoicing in the knowledge of sins forgiven. Sadly, you're still in your sin. You're under the bondage of Satan. You're destined to a Christless hell, rushing as fast as your feet can carry you into the blackness of darkness forever. And it's out of Christ as you start this year without a Savior, with no hope nor refuge now. The beginning of 2020 gives you a solemn opportunity to stop and to consider. Where do you stand with God? Are you in Christ or are you not? Will heaven be your eternal portion or will it not be? Will it be absent from the body and present with the Lord, or will it be absent from the body and cast out into hell forevermore? Is this not a suitable time to be saved? A suitable time to be converted that your sins might be blotted out? A suitable time to come to Jesus Christ for forgiveness and mercy? You are once again at a crossroads. It's not the first time, but beginning this year brings you to this crossroads. Two ways before you lie, and each a choice must make. One upward to the sky, another to the lake. Will any choose the path of woe? Each soul must answer, yes or no. The concluding words of this sermon of Jesus are uniquely solemn and challenging. As he draws the Sermon of the Mount to a conclusion, he sets before his hearers some of the most striking and compelling truths about death and eternity, the judgment, the last judgment, and eternal rejection that we have anywhere in all the Scriptures. And they ought to make us sit up and think. Bishop J.C. Ryle said concerning this sermon, "Such a sermon never was preached before. Such a sermon perhaps has never been preached since." You think about the Sermon on the Mount, spanning over these three chapters of Matthew's Gospel, 5, 6, and 7. And you think about those splendid words of comfort that fell from the Savior's lips when he walked upon this earth. For example, one of the Beatitudes, chapter 5 and verse 4, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." A great word, especially for those that are in the midst of sorrow. Or you think of verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." You can run your eye down to towards the end of chapter 5, and we have these challenging words in verse 43 and 44. "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." And you read words like that, and undoubtedly, you are immediately challenged. You go on through the sermon, you can think about the Lord's Prayer in chapter 6, where the Lord gives us guidance how to order our prayers before Him, the kind of petitions that we ought to bring to the throne. We have that from verse 9 through to verse 13. We think of the divine care of God, how He looks after us and provides for us. You read there in chapter 6 and verse 25. "I say unto you, take no thought of your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment?" Look also at verse 33, where we're told to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But very few people like to ponder the concluding application of Jesus Christ as He sets before His congregation such solemn truths that we have read tonight. You think of those words in verse 22, or 21, 22 and 23 of Matthew 7. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, in thy name cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. These words are heart-piercing. People don't like to consider these kind of words or this kind of application. The two verses of our text, verses 13 and 14, never cease to challenge me and to impress me deeply about the need to be saved and right with God. I tremble every time I contemplate such eternal realities. There is a God, an all-powerful, eternal, holy God before whom we all stand. And it is to this God that we are answerable. We live our lives in His sight, in the sight of His all-comprehending knowledge. He sees every work of the flesh and the body. He hears every word and every conversation that we enter into. He reads the very thoughts of our minds and our hearts. And all is recorded in His indisputable record of divine knowledge and justice. Nothing escapes His notice. Nothing is forgotten or overlooked. There is no challenge to His unerring and infallible account. And one day, we will be called to stand before Him. And we shall give an account. We will hear the record. It will be read. Those who died in their sins without the covering of divine mercy, found alone in Jesus Christ and His finished work upon the cross, will stand before the great white throne of judgment. On that great and solemn day, the Word of God tells us that the books will be opened and the dead will be judged concerning the things that are written in those books. And the judgment will be given, the verdict will be given, and here is what God has declared in His Word. It's the last verse of Revelation 20. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. How we need to be ready. How we need to have a refuge for our souls, a covering for our sin. We need the cleansing and the forgiveness of God so that we have a standing on the great day of judgment. And I pray tonight on this last Lord's Day, this first gospel service of the year 2020, that God will speak to you, to your heart. Let me outline the words of Jesus in our text at the close of this service. These are the authoritative words of the Son of God. No man spake like He spoke. He speaks with divine knowledge and authority, and I say, hear Him. It's not this preacher merely that you want to hear. What I have to say is not important, but what God has to say is important, and what Jesus says in this sermon is important. And I trust that God will write these solemn words upon you, your heart and your mind, and may you come to Christ without delay. Thinking of the crossroads that you're standing at this very night, the two ways that are before you. And I want you to think of the description of these ways. And you want to single out just the two words, broad and narrow. That's the two ways that are before you, the broad and the narrow. We are all travelers in this life, in this world. We began our journey when we were born. We will end the journey as far as this life is concerned when we come to that last day of our life and we breathe our last on earth. In a sense, there are many roads in the ordinary things of life upon which men travel. We can think tonight of a man's vocation and employment. We can think of his rank in society. We can think of his pastimes and his hobbies, his relationships and his family life. We can think about his religious convictions and beliefs. We can think about his political outlook. And these are all roads in life upon which a man will travel. But when it comes to spiritual matters, divine truth, our destiny and eternity, there are but two roads upon which men travel, the broad and the narrow. Those on the broad road know not Jesus Christ as Savior, for the Bible makes it plain there is but one way to heaven and one way to get on to that road of that is narrow, and that is Christ. And those on the broad road have not taken that way as yet. Those on the narrow road have come to trust in the substitutionary work of Christ, and they know the Redeemer. And I'm asking you the question, on which road are you traveling? Because on one of these two roads you are on this evening. Is it the broad road? Is it the narrow road? Notice, secondly, the destinations to which they lead. And again, we are brought to consider two words of Christ in the text, the word destruction and the word life. Death is not the end. The grave is not the conclusion. In fact, it's only the beginning. After death, the judgment. After judgment, the endlessness of eternity. There is an existence for what we sometimes call the countless ages of eternity, the foreverness of eternity. There are only two eternal destinations. There is no limbo. There is no purgatory. There is no intermediate stage. The Bible knows only two destinations, and the Lord Jesus speaks about them here. Destruction or life? Destruction is eternal damnation. Do not be deceived into thinking anything different. It is not the extinction of life completely. That is popularly called today annihilation. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches destruction that is eternal and forever. Life is eternal life in the splendor and bliss of heaven. To enter the narrow way is to enter God's salvation. It is to get ready for glory, to be with Christ forevermore. Jesus gives to his sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. To which of these destinations are you traveling? Now that ought to concern us. That ought to bring great searchings of heart. Which way am I going? By what road am I traveling? What shall my final ending be? Where is my destination? My destiny for eternity. Passing onward, quickly passing. But I ask thee, whither bound? Is it to the many mansions where eternal life is found? And then you'll notice in the third place the details of the travelers. And again, there's two words to single out, two words of Christ. Many and few. Now, the world is full of religion. Christendom is full of professing Christians. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands throughout the world, they say they believe. They say they're going to heaven. They say they are right with God. They proclaim that they are ready for eternity. 90% of Americans profess to be Christian, though their belief and practice does not match up to this book. And think of the United Kingdom, all the shades and the fashions of denominations and religious sects who take the name of Jesus upon their lips, and they profess that they have the right way, that they're on the right way, they're going the right way. My friends, according to Jesus Christ, and he's the authority when it comes to this, many are on the downward way. Few, There are who find the way of life. Broad is the way, Jesus says, that leads to destruction. And it's that road is full of travelers. Many there be which go in thereat. And I can see them marching in their teeming multitudes down the broad road that leads to destruction. Concerning life eternal in heaven, Jesus says, few there be that find it. And you take heed to these words. These are fearful, heart-searching truths. We may well tremble if our religion is that of the multitude. If we can say nothing more than we go where others go, we worship where others worship, and we hope that we shall do as well as others at the last. If that's what we are saying, then we are literally pronouncing our own destruction and condemnation. We have no reason to be discouraged or downcast if the Christianity that we profess is not popular and there are few people who agree with us, because true repentance and faith in Christ and holiness of life have never been fashionable. Don't worry if you're found among the minority, if people say that you are too narrow-minded, because it is a narrow way, Jesus says, and few there be that find it. I ask you the question, what word best describes you as you travel? The many or the few? Are you counted in among the many who are still lost and on the broad road? Or the few that have found the way of life and salvation and forgiveness and peace with God? One final thought. The declaration of the Savior. Jesus says, enter ye in at the straight gate. Our blessed Lord and Savior is speaking here. He is giving this urgent and solemn exhortation in the light of everything that is being said in this passage, and particularly our text that speaks of the broad road and the narrow road. The Lord Jesus says, enter in. You must obey the command of Christ if it is to be well with you in eternity. To enter in is to become a possessor of life. Life that is abundant in this world and life that is eternal in the world to come. There is a heaven to gain. There is a land that is fairer than day. There is a better country where there is no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. God's word declares, for the former things are passed away. Those things that afflict us in this life, those things that bring distress and discouragement and dismay, they're passed away forevermore. The picture here probably has some little town in view. That city that is set on a hill with a narrow path leading to it, leading to a yet narrower gate, the needle's eye through which the traveler enters in. The way to heaven is a narrow way, the way of obedience and holiness. The gate is not reached without pain and effort, but only through that gate can we enter into the city of God, into the heavenly Jerusalem. To get through that gate, we must be unladen of all our burdens of sin. And you think of that description that we mentioned, the needle's eye. It was known as one of the gates. And as the camel entered in, it was very difficult for such a beast to go through that gate. It had to be unladen of its burden. And then it had to get down on its knees and almost be pushed all the way through the needle's eye, because the needle's eye was so small. It's one of the pictures of entering into the kingdom of God, speaking of the narrow way, the narrow gate. My friends, the gate itself, or the door, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the door. the door by which his sheep enter in, as John chapter 10 reminds us. My friends, tonight on this first Lord's Day of the year, you're at the crossroads. As you begin this year still unconverted and unready, there are two roads that lie before you, the straight and the narrow, and the wide and the broad. Which should it be? Will you continue to journey downwards on the broad road of destruction, because that's the path that you're on? The moment that you're born, you're on the broad road, you're heading down that road. Or, my friends, will you turn and seek the Lord? Go through the gate that brings you into heaven and get into the narrow way. Be wise unto salvation. Do not play the fool. Do not play around with your immortal soul, where you'll be in the great eternity of God. It's too important to mess around with such spiritual and eternal things. Oh, that you would take heed to Christ, that you would enter in. Enter ye in at the straight gate. Because Jesus says, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Well, my prayer is that you'll be numbered among the few, and that you will find it tonight and come to know Christ as your Savior. Shall we bow together in the presence of God at the close of this service? We think of those times when we're at a crossroads, when we are brought to make decisions that are important and grave, the most serious kind. And I believe today, tonight, is one of those times. We're at the crossroads on the first Lord's Day, as we think of the year ahead and the roads that are before us. If you are without Christ, you're on the broad road. Are you going to continue down that road tonight and say no to Christ and no to salvation, no to heaven? Or by the grace of God, are you going to submit yourself to the will of Christ and come as a sinner to Jesus and know your sins forgiven and find pardon and peace with God forevermore and get on to the narrow way, the narrow road that leads to life, that leads to heaven itself? It is our prayer in this congregation, those of us who know the Savior, that you will make the right choice. And as you stand at the crossroads, that you will decide for Christ, come to Him. I begin this year by saying what I always say at the close of a service like this. We're here to help you, to guide you, just simply to be a signpost, not to the preacher, not to the church, not to the denomination, not to ordinances or sacraments or rites or rituals, but a signpost to Christ, the only Savior of man. He's the only one that can forgive your sin and grant you eternal life. You need to come to Him and come in simple, childlike faith. Father, as we begin this year in the house of God, we do so in the solemnity of your word tonight, thinking of the two ways, two roads, the two destinations, praying earnestly that there will be those who will heed the exhortation of Christ when He implores us to enter in. O Lord, may there be grace given to some sinner here to obey that, to do what Christ is calling them to do in this text. By faith may they enter into salvation and eternal life. Enter in through that narrow gate that brings them onto the narrow way that leads to that everlasting home in heaven forevermore. We thank thee that salvation is real, and we thank thee that our God is able to save, and save to the uttermost all that come. May there be a coming to Christ tonight on this first Sabbath day. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn in our hymn books to the hymn 236, Out of Christ Without a Savior. Oh, can it be like a ship without a rudder on a wild and stormy sea? Oh, to be without a Savior, with no hope nor refuge nigh. And we often ask this question as we sing the hymn, can it be? O blessed Savior, one without thee dares to die. Are you daring to die without Christ? What a foolish thing to do. Are you out of Christ tonight? Well, the hymn implores you to give him your heart. In the last verse, ere the door of mercy closes and you hear his word depart, you need to turn to the Lord. You need to seek him. We're going to stand and sing verses 1 and 5 only. First and final verses of the hymn 236. Father, as we think of the endlessness of the great eternity and the awful place to which men are heading, we pray in Jesus' name that there will be the entering in, a seeking of Christ, a calling upon his name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We have the guarantee of God's salvation and redemption. We pray that you will bless this meeting. Bless the testimony that we've listened to. The message and song that we might think about our soul. Bless your word. And it is our prayer that Christ will be honored. And may it please God to bring sinners to him this very night. We ask it in Jesus' name and for God's glory. Amen.